Blog Talk Radio.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone. Put down your green beverage of choice and listen up for a second. This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on as well as a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now let's talk. I am Desiree Fletcher, and he is Kalen Patterson, and we are P4P Real Talk. Hey, Kalen, say hello on this holiday.
Hello, hello.
And how are you? How are you celebrating your St. Patrick's Day?
I actually had a bit of pancakes a little bit of morning.
I'm not even quite sure what you said.
Saint Patrick's Day pancakes.
Oh, pancakes
I thought
today?
I had
Saint
Patrick's Day pancakes. It's pretty good.
Saint Patrick's Day pancakes. And also, though, your...
No, not pancakes, pancakes.
I said pancakes. Pancakes. Not born. That's a topic for another show.
Oh, yes.
Now, your name, Kalen, it actually has some, it has a Celtic background. What does that mean?
Actually, it's an offshoot of the name Kellen, which means
Kellen.
Strong warrior. Yeah,
and
Kellen.
Kellen.
I think that's very fitting. It is.
Can I call you Kellen for the duration of tonight's show?
For the duration of this show, you can call me Kellen. Kellen.
Awesome.
Kellen Patterson. My name's Kellen Patterson. Do not make fun of my name.
I know. I love that accent, though. You pulling that off. Great. All right, Kellen. So last weekend was a big weekend for you. I believe it was the Natty Nation workout. See, I'm trying it out, too. I don't do it as well as you do, but bring us up to speed. Natty Nation workout. What was going on?
Well, we had a great time up there, and we were doing all kinds of crazy things. And when we started lifting, we started lifting really heavy weights. And as we brought them about upon our buttocks and our chest, we found all kinds of great strength.
I'm sorry. I think you said buttocks, and I lost it. I don't know why. I feel like I'm... 12 all over again.
Well, you got to work the glutes to get the best of the maximum, right?
That's right. So, okay, pull it together, Desiree. Pull it together.
Okay.
So how did the Natty Nation workout, how did that get organized? What was the purpose of the event? I understand that it had a pretty awesome turnout.
Yeah, way more than we expected. Over 30 competitors, you know, not counting the people that came to actually, you know, partake of just the facilities and the meeting itself. That was really interesting. It was actually Brian McCabe's idea. He heard the podcast, and we were talking with Vicky, and he thought, you know, well, he could do something too, and he wanted, you know, to, you know, throw his head into the game. And it actually worked out really well, and we spoke with Kimmy Arnone, and she's a really big supporter of natural bodybuilding and natural fitness. And we used her gym, and everything else just fell into place, and it worked out so well.
Awesome. Now, who is Brian McCabe for any of our listeners who might not be familiar with him?
Boy, Brian McCabe is one of the most passionate individuals I've ever met, and he's really... really wanting shows in the Chicago region, and he's got the DFAC Windy City Classic coming up this summer.
Okay. Very nice, very nice. And we will figure out a date on that and be sure that we share that with everyone on the show. Speaking of the show, we have I'm just so thrilled to have this individual on, a little bit different than what we normally do. But here, let me tell you what happened. So we had another guest set up for tonight's show and a totally different topic, and I'm not going to go into what that is because we're still going to have her on. And then at the last minute, we didn't have her anymore. She's getting ready to open up her own business, and she's 2 days out, so just totally slammed. So we totally understand, but we are going to be having her on soon. And then the most gracious thing happened. Kaylin reached out, and we have got a whole new guest tonight, and he's unlike anything that we've had before, so that's exciting. And I'm going to let Kaylin give a little intro as to who we're expecting tonight.
Okay. He's obviously very energetic, and he's very active, and he's very natural. And that's that was something, you know, after learning about my heroes growing up, and they were, you know, doing things because it wasn't vitamins, it wasn't drinking milk, they were taking some other things. And so, you know, I grew up a real, real big fan of wrestling, and, you know, just to see this guy do what he was doing day in, day out, take the beatings, and still get back and still want to make it part of a natural lifestyle, it was really something. So I'll let this gentleman introduce himself, and he'll give us some background, and we'll go from there.
So I'm assuming that is my cue, right?
Yes.
Yes, Carlos, that is your cue, my friend. Tell us who you are.
Awesome. Thank you very much, guys. For most of you that don't know, my name is Calvin Perkins, and my alter ego is the Muay Thai Warrior, the Cobra.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so I've got this little description that I've pulled here. It says, born and raised in Chicago, Illinois, the Cobra is known for his unique look, mysterious eyes that get into the heads of his opponents, and hard-hitting Muay Thai wrestling style with the instincts of a predator. The Warrior, the Cobra, strives to be the best and will not stop until the world knows it.
You're dang right. Won't stop until the world knows it.
I love that too.
I'm just gonna jump in. What's with the eyes here? I've seen some of your pictures, and they truly are unique. For anybody who's seen them, if you haven't seen them, I don't even know what color to call them. White?
Oh well, yeah, actually, yeah. Let's go with white. the eyes came about. I was just looking and kind of putting, like, all kinds of different subjects together. Like, usually the typical professional wrestler is about 230 pounds or something like that. You know, that's the typical wrestler. But mm-hmm. I'm only 183, you know, so, and most of that
wow.
is my length. I'm pretty tall. So I'm not so jacked, but I'm pretty tall. And the eyes kind of came into play. If I'm going to step into the ring with all these giant, you know, hard-hitting guys, I got to be able to psych them out some kind of way. And what's more deadlier than a venomous cobra? They're small.
Yeah.
They're deadly. You know, they're fast. So I figured that that would be a nice angle to go at. So I decided to put the eyes in, and it's been working for me.
But like that, Larry said, they are unique. And, man, I'm telling you, they definitely draw your attention. I'm sure you start getting pretty wild-eyed at them. There could be a distraction to your benefit.
Oh, yes, definitely. That's exactly the plan right there.
Because I know if I was in the ring with you, I would not be paying attention to anything else other than trying to figure out what I was looking at, trying to take it all in. And by then, it's probably too late. It's probably too late. I got
yes,
a leg around my neck or something's going on.
So that's it. Then I already scraped. You're out of there.
So tell us about the organization that you wrestle with, just the type of wrestling that you do.
The type of wrestling that I do, it's not high school wrestling. It was originally created from a circus, believe it or not, pro wrestling.
Oh.
It was just, started off at a circus. And it was just a way to get, you know, it was a show put on to get fans to come, and it was a nice way to make money. And over time, it just evolved, you know. It started being a worldwide phenomenon, and it just started growing so fast, and everybody wanted to be a part of it now. So.
Now, you're being humble about it, so I would like to ask, you know, because you said you wanted to get into the ring to intimidate some people, but it seems like you've been doing pretty well with the intimidation.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, although it is a show put on, it is still a full contact sport. I mean, you're going at it. The object is to win, regardless. Like, you hear a lot of guys say about professional wrestling, like they usually say, oh, well, I don't really want to see that fake stuff. I love when people say that. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, that's cool. Come to a show, and I'll make sure that you know this is about as real as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
But what's your title?
Excuse me?
I said you have a title, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm a world heavyweight champion in Chicago at a company called Resistance Pro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I have the title out there.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
So how did you get to the title, or what was your journey to getting your belt?
Oh, well, there was a lot of ups and downs whenever it came to situations like that. But I also have a lot of connections. So there was a
So what does that
a
mean?
Guy that worked for, a lot of connections, meaning, like, I know people that can grab eyes. I know not only me, like, my unique look. I know people. This is usually, this business is the type of business where you get somewhere faster when you know someone. You know, everyone that knows someone. And, I mean, that's usually how it works in a lot of businesses in general, you know. If you have a cousin or an uncle and you're the manager of something and someone else has this, you know, and they want to apply at the same place when you have a family member, more than likely you'll probably go to that person first, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
now, you basically met some very unique wrestlers, too. I think you've met Diamond Dallas Page. You've also met, I know recently you just met Abyss.
Oh, yes. Yes, Abyss was awesome. He was definitely a character, man. You're talking about intimidating. This guy's intimidating. But he's one of the nicest, kind-hearted guys you would know.
Well, I know they got to take on a different personality when they get in the ring. And some of them, you know, like you said, it's a professional sport, so you got to be good at what you do. I mean, you know, even if you're connected, you still got to get out there and do the work. So, you know, just let the fans know about that, because I know some people might be mistaken. It's a lot of, you guys do a lot of work when you're in that four-corner circle.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. I can say it's definitely like, it's like running a mile nonstop. That's what that match feels like, running a mile nonstop. Because when that bell rings, you have to entertain these people and be able to continue it from start to finish. Usually that goes from like running a mile in 7 minutes or running a mile in 12 minutes or, you know, I mean, it goes. It's definitely a marathon.
So when you're in the ring and you know that entertainment is like top of the priority list, and then there's the sport that comes next to it, I mean, how do you balance that? What's going through your head? I mean, you know, are you thinking, okay, I'm going to make this gesture towards the audience, and then I'm going to make my move, and then he's going to make his move, and then, I don't know, I mean, how does this performance work?
Yes, it is definitely an engine. It is an engine. It's not just you go out there and do it. There is a science to it.
Yeah.
And usually, like, some of the best feels is like professional wrestling. This is the layout. Professional wrestling is predetermined. We know who's going to win before it even happens. People know that.
Okay.
Fans know this stuff. But the thrill of how it's happening and what creates those moments, you know, and usually, a lot of times, like, I get out in the ring, and I have no idea what's going to happen next. So I usually just kind of go off the feel of the crowd. If you have a really high crowd, just diehard fans, and they're going, you just got to go off of them. You got to give them what they want. And you also have to take it away. So it's like giving a kid a piece of candy. It's getting so close to it, and they want it so bad, and you take it away. They're going to be pretty sad about that. So whenever their hero gets taken away, they're going to be pretty sad about that. But then when you actually give it to them, when you give that kid that candy, they're going to flip crazy. they're going to go crazy about it. So when you give that hero his moment of overcoming evil or defeating the villain or, you know, anything of in those categories, you're going to go crazy for it. So that's money automatically off top.
Cool.
Yeah.
So how does that, I mean, how do you feel about that, knowing when you go into the ring what the outcome is going to be, but you're just not sure how you're going to get there? I mean, how do you keep that excitement up knowing that, okay, today I don't get to be the hero? Or do you always get to be the hero? It's
you know,
your stride right now.
It kind of goes, like there's multiple companies that I work for. It's not just one company. Some companies, I'm a jerk. That's what it is. Some companies,
you're the bad guy.
Yeah. Yes, bad guy. There it is. I would say some companies, that's what I am. I'm a jerk, and I love it. It's real fun because I'm a family man. I'm a people person, and when you just get to step out of that for a second and kind of be someone, you know, that everyone hates or everyone loves to hate, you know, that's where magic is created right there, because you have no idea. In some places, I'm the hero.
Uh-huh.
Which is awesome too, you know. So, and I mean, like, it's still, you just balance it out. It all depends on whatever promoter wants you for. You're basically ranking yourself out. That's how it is. They pay you to come and play a role, and you play that role because they want either your unique character or, you know, there's something about you. I mean, you have to be something about you that's unique. They kind of grasp more attention. That's what makes them, you know, bring you in. And they just put two and two together, like, hey, the Cobra might look awesome going up against Kale, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's just a balance, and you kind of figure out what works and listen to the crowd and how they react to things, and that's kind of how you know. It's definitely something you wouldn't really be able to explain overnight. It's definitely one of those long, at least about a year. It was a while before I even got it. I was just going out having fun.
Well, now here's the thing. I've seen some of your matches. You've been good enough to share some of your videos. Some of the moves you do in there are pretty spectacular. I mean, how do you come up with those things?
I watch a lot of movies. I'm a big martial arts fan, man. So I watch a lot of movies, and I try to find a way, like I said, like even though professional wrestling is predetermined, we are still going in, and we're knocking the crap out of each other. So you just know when you get in the ring, oh, crap, this dude's going to beat my butt. I'm probably not going to be able to go to work tomorrow, or, you know, or I'm going to have a headache, or you just know it for a fact. Just by the style he is, by the way he works or move around, you just tell that this dude, oh man, he's either tough or I got to fight to survive. Or so I watch a lot of movies and I try to find like something that's unique there, and I kind of put it with the way I move, because I kind of move like I don't know if you guys played any like Mortal Kombat games like back in the day.
Are
you know
how
the character kind of just stand there and rock over and over, that's their motion, you know.
You do realize we had the actual guy from Mortal Kombat, Jax, on our show.
Oh, no. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I missed that episode.
That's all right. You can still listen to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I missed that episode. But, yeah, so I have a unique move and, you know, life to me, too. I'm
very unique.
Walk like, yeah, I don't just walk like my normal self. Whenever I get in that outfit, those contacts go on, I get my mohawk all nice, and it's time to go, that feeling just come out. It just gives, it's like you're working out to rock music or something. It just gives you that extra oomph. It makes you feel a certain type of way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's usually
well,
where...
Well, there's one thing that I learned from watching the TNT shows in Peoria. And we had some guests that weren't really supposed to be guests there, so I won't say their names. But they were, you know, just watching the show. But they said if a wrestler is really flubbing that night, they really get some beatings on them, basically either spur them on or wake them up, because they're really screwing up the show and match.
If they're really what now? I'm sorry.
If they're really screwing up the show, you know, like if they're not really putting their all into it and making the other wrestler not look so good.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's definitely a team effort. And if you're screwing up, you will – we call it a receipt. That's what we call it. If you screw up and you make me look bad, I'm going to give you a receipt and you're going to know it. You're not going to know it when, but it's just going to happen in this match. You don't know whenever it's going to happen. I don't know if you know Ric Flair or anything where
mm-hmm.
Yeah, usually Ric Flair is famous for giving chops, which is like when you slap your hand across the chest of another opponent, which knocks the air out of you. It's like getting punched in the chest, but with a sound effect. Yeah. So yeah, that's about the lightest way to put it, man. And that's usually something I do. Either I slap them in the chest, like, harder than I normally would, or I give them a forearm to the jaw. I mean, it's just, you don't know. Like, if you screw something up or if you end up hurting me in a certain spot, like, you know, to the point where I can't continue, or, you know, so my character dropped down tremendously by you making a dumb mistake, or, you know, because I was in a situation similar to that where my jaw got broken.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, my jaw got broken. I still finished the match, which was dumb, but still, I finished the match because that was just the drive, and the fans just kept going, and, like, the pain kind of was numb for a second, and, you know, so I still finished the match, but, yeah, my jaw got broken, and I still finished, and I went and talked to the guy, and it was a real simple mistake that happened, so it kind of threw me for a loop. It was like, okay. Something real simple like that where you're just trying to knock me out because I was destined to be the champion eventually. But if I'm injured, I can't be. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it gets pretty dark, man. It gets pretty dark. Like, people want your spots. They'll take you out to get it.
Yeah. And that kind of ties back into the question when I was asking, you know, how you feel when, you know, when you're coming in and you're not supposed to be the winner, but, you know, I guess – you know, you handle it one way, and then others, you know, might another. So you just kind of got to watch your back because you don't know when something like that could go wrong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely correct. And I guess I played a part in, you know, some devilish stuff like that once before, too. There was a guy that, it was a while ago, we call it green. Like, whenever you're basically learning the business, you're still kind of just doing dumb stuff. Like, you don't really know. It's like an MMA fight. You know, there's a science to MMA fighting. You don't just fight like a street fight. You don't just go and throw hands until you run out of air and then you pass out, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a science to it. You do these low jabs, you know, to weaken your opponent, and then you start building up. It's like a build-up. You don't just go in, haymakers, flying all over the place, you know, right away. So just like that, there's a science to wrestling, too. So Cobra. The promoter was like, Cobra, this guy's going to – he's going to beat you tonight. I'm like, okay. I was like, well, what's his record? Do he have any – do he have a decent fan base? Do he have has he held previous titles? How many companies has he worked at? How many years has he been a wrestler? And, you know, so all this stuff come into play to how I should act whenever this guy defeats me, or what kind of story I can build, what kind of story we can build by knowing what I know about him. And the guy only was working like a year, and I was working like 8 years. So I'm like, really? Him beat me?
Yeah,
I don't really like that idea. You know, but the promoter's like, yeah, we're going to come do this, and then we have it come around where you'll be able to get the title back and this, and that. And I'm like, okay. So in my head, I'm like, all right, if he's going to beat me, he's been wrestling this long, I'm going to beat the hell out of him. That was my mindset. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I pushed him towards the limits. I tried to make him not hurt him, but hurt him. You know, as safely as I can hurt him, that's what I was going for. I was trying to drain his body. I was trying to get him to just say, hey, man, that's it. I can't do anymore. I can't take it no more. You know, that's what I was trying to do. And, I mean, he finished the match, and he gained my respect for finishing the match. You understand? Uh-huh. Now, it's a little one of those, like, I don't believe that you deserve a title. I don't believe that you should be able to beat me. But, it's, I mean, that's what he's paying me for, and, you know, I'm a pawn in this, you know, game that we call professional wrestling. So, yeah, that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to take him out, but he gained my respect by finishing the match, even though I was just laying it on him. I was just trying to get him to quit safely as possible. I never really tried to hurt anyone, but I tried to drain him. I tried to drain him. Like, if you're on that treadmill and your coach saying, come on, go, you can do it. And you're like, man, he's like, one more mile. You're like, what? And you're dead. You have nothing more. You're gassed out. And he's just pushing you, and then you just give up and quit. That's what I was trying to get him to do. But he didn't, you know. So it's definitely like that. You'll bump into situations like that, which I'm guilty of. So.
Well, yeah. Shawn Michaels had said something that really surprised me, and it's something I had to go back and start watching the old videos. And he said, most of the time, the best wrestler is the one that loses in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're that good at their craft.
Oh, yeah, and they need someone like you to make this guy look good.
Mm-hmm.
Because by you losing, you're going to lose no fans. You're going to lose no profitability. You're going to lose nothing. You're still going to be at the top. You know, but you got to get really creative and come up with unique endings and surprise fans, and that's what you want to do. You don't want those just solid, oh, that was his move. He did his cool move, so it's over 1, 2, 3. You kind of want to back and forth. You want a roller coaster ride. You want to give people their money's worth, you know.
So how do you prep for a match? I mean, what is training like? And when you talk about, you know, being able to choreograph those surprise endings, because you are making them up on the fly, and you're not really practicing with your opponent, how do you prepare for a match?
Well, one way that I prepare for one is I meet the guy. I meet him. It's like a first date.
Bring flowers.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. I drive however long, 5 hours away to meet this guy and wrestle around with him half naked for 12 minutes. So,
hey, that's a description right there. That's a description. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, that's it. A 5-hour drive, too. I've done this plenty of times. All right, so I show up. I'm like, hey, how you doing, man? My name's Kelvin. And never introduced by my wrestling name. I want them to know me as a person first so they trust me. With their body. They trust me lifting them up and slamming them on their head. You know, they trust me putting them in an arm lock and not breaking their arm, you know. So I want to introduce myself like that first. And then I usually try to pick up like, okay, well, what all do you do? What type of person you are? How's your character? What would he do in this type of situation? So you kind of just pick that character and then you play off of that character, how your character would react to him. I know it's a little confusing, but if you're a guy that, if you're a workout guy, and that's your character. My character is a workout guy. Everybody in the audience is fat and lazy, even if they're fit. They're fat and lazy. They don't want to do anything. I'm the best fitted person in the world, and you should all be like me. That's a bad guy role, you know? So what I would do... So, hey, these situations really happen, man. Really happen. Okay. So,
we're sorry. So you're describing
like
your date.
Yes, this is my date. And
this is your date. Yep.
Yes. So, I just figure out what my character would do or what moves I can make with this character. So
you want to score on the first date is what you're telling me.
That's kind of what I'm going
for.
We're trying to knock it out the park the first time, man. That's what we're trying to do. But so I just kind of get a feel, you know, for
yeah.
Wow. I'm trying to break it down to y'all, man.
Hey, you did.
Yeah, I'm sorry for him. That's all I'm going to say. Please continue.
Oh, man. So I was just trying to get a feel of what this character would do in mind, and I was more than likely trying to work off his workout thing, which is not my style at all. I'm a martial artist. I'm a strong style wrestler. Strong style is like I like to hit hard. I like to get right in the fan space and do something really realistic, really painful for that, you know, that little 3 seconds of time, because it'll fade away eventually. But I like to do stuff like that, which is it brings people into it more. You know, some people like the, you know, the acrobats, but some people also like the hard hitting, and we want that shown. So I'd rather get right in your face and blaze this dude about as hard as I can, you know, so you know that, hey, he's actually getting his butt beat up in there. And I usually just try to play off of that character, what my strong style character would do up against his bodybuilding, obnoxious attitude, like how will my character react to that? And you make some entertaining, whether your crowd may like something funny, maybe your crowd might like something hardcore, might, you know, some sad, some, you want to kind of have all these emotions in one match.
Mm-hmm.
That's the layout for a great match. So that way everyone is satisfied. Like if some people don't like the, if they don't want their kids, the real hardcore stuff. You want to kind of do something else. You want to kind of make them laugh and, you know, do something funny and, you know, just kind of balance it out. That's what you want to do. You want your pot to be balanced out.
So you've had your date. You obviously spend a lot of time, you know, reading the crowd or figuring out how to read the crowd. So you're coming into your next match. I mean, what's the head game like? How much time does it take you to get into character, to just be ready to go? What is that process?
Oh, no, there's no time at all. As soon as I walk in the building, see that ring, that heart, my heart already starts, it's already start pumping. And then whenever I get my contacts in and, you know, I get my fit on, just like that, switches on, and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get pushed
so you're
to the
an
limit.
Actor.
I'm hoping. Oh, yes, definitely. Yes, it definitely takes some of that.
Yeah.
But it's not real hard to act when you actually feel some of the pain, you know? You just kind of amplify
it's,
it.
I think Stone Cold said it best when he said, you know, if you're not there for the fans, then you're not really understanding what wrestling's all about.
Right. Yes, that is correct. It's definitely about them. They're the ones who's giving you this check right now, you know? And I got kids myself, man, and one of my biggest things is I love the kids. So that's one thing I love about being a good guy, man. I mean, just being able to bring a character that was possibly on paper into real life. Like, they buy these posters of me, and to me, I'm larger than life, you know, which I'm not there yet. That's what I'm shooting for, to be larger than life. But they make me feel like that automatically, you know, and that just makes me want to do more, just like that, where I can bring their hero into real life, you know. So, yeah,
so
definitely about
next?
The fans, man.
I mean, you've got your championship in Chicago. You've already got that under your belt, so to speak. So what's next?
Oh, no, I need as many as I can possibly get. Every company that I work for, I want to be the top dog in that company. So it's never over. It's never over. It won't be
so
over until
So is it just a matter then of signing with new companies or different organizations, and that's how you continue to climb the ladder?
That's exactly how you continue. The more matches, the more people, the more popular you are, the more you just got to stay active. Your media has to be constantly going. You have to think of creative things to make people chat about. I mean, you guys are in charge of a radio show. You know exactly how it is. Exactly how that is, that's how the world of professional wrestling is. The more people you know, the better you're shown, and the more promoters know about you because people are talking about you. So they contact you and, you know, hey, man, can you come down? We really need you to come down, you know. So that's exactly what it's about.
I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's one thing
that I'm really impressed by is the balance you found where you're not destroying anything. You know, and I know that takes character to begin with. And you and I share somebody in our lives, well, we did up until this fasting, where he basically was that balance. So if you could talk about him for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was my grandfather, actually. And, you know, he was big on any of that stuff. He'd get over there and he'd get to telling me, well, boy, now you got to watch out now. Those boys will hurt you. I'm like, Grandpa, I was like, it's cool. I'm working with these guys. Yeah, it's going to hurt a little bit, but it's going to, you know, we'll get through it. Everything will be fine, man. But, oh, wrestling to him and martial arts and cartoons and all that stuff, man, he was into all that stuff. And everything that was that he liked or that he had, it was in common with, you know, it was in common with me. So, and that stuff that I really drove off of, like the cartoons and the martial arts and the wrestling, that stuff I grew up watching, and that's something that you see that's almost impossible that you kind of want to imitate. That's me. I'm one of those guys. I'm like, man, how the heck? They must have had a rope on them or something. I got to try it. So I get to practicing it and carry it on that way. I mean, I've failed a lot of times now. Don't get me wrong. I've failed a lot of times, but I mean, you just get back up and try it on, you know? But yeah, he was a big supporter of that, man. So
I know the one question that's still on my mind that we haven't covered yet, and it sounds like you've already answered part of that your grandfather was a huge influence on you, but how did you get started in this whole profession? I mean, what door was open that you walked through and like, all right, I'm going to be a professional wrestler. This is it.
Yeah, that was kind of all over the place. let's go back. Well, my stepfather, he was a big wrestling fan, and so I used to watch WCW and everything with him. And then after watching it, you know, they had the little thing, please don't try this at home. We kind of didn't listen to that. But we kind of didn't listen to that. But I got with a couple friends, and we got the horsing around at school and everything, and then a couple of more friends, well, my friend's friend was like, oh, you guys wrestle? Oh, y'all can beat our team and this and that. So, and they brought up a team, and they came, I was like, man, we got to come up with a name. So here it is, like four of us, and then, you know, like five of them. It was like, meet us at the park. So we go at the park, we just get to throwing each other around, slamming each other, hurting ourselves like idiots. And we just kind of did that, like, daily, which I guess it would go around to, like, backyard wrestling. That's where it basically started, in, like, the backyard. We'd just do that stuff landing on ground. We'd go to the mall and just break out a fight scene. You know, I mean, we were all friends, but we didn't really know how to do it. We just saw it, and we just slammed each other. So it was, and people were like, oh, these dudes, these kids are crazy looking. And that, just that thrill of people watching you, and, you know, you got a nice little crowd, like, surrounding you. It just made you want to do even more. It made you want to do dumber stuff, believe it or not. So then it just, that's the brain of a teenager right there. Did y'all hear that? Made you want to do dumber stuff. But, so, I mean, and it just grew from there. Like, we found out that there was other promotions, which I had no idea. I'm like, man, how the heck? I wish I was on WWE or WWF at that time. I was like, oh, man, I wish I could do that. I didn't know. I thought that was it, and that was, you just go there, and that's it. You train, and that's it. You know, I didn't know that there's many promotions, like, scattered all around the world of, you know, lore companies that could bring you in and train you in. So we did a little, one of our friends, he was a smart one. He didn't wrestle. He was a smart one. He just liked to watch us do dumb stuff. But he had found a spot in Danville, Illinois, and there was a show. Let's get all together and let's go out here to this show. So we went out to the show, and it was a New Breed Wrestling Alliance is the name of it. They had a ring, they had an entrance, they had fans, and we were part of the fans. We paid our money to get in and everything. And we just started, as the show's going on, we just got to cheering our stuff, our backyard crap, you know, at this company. and it was drawing a lot of attention. And so at the end of that show, the promoter came up and was like, so you guys are wrestlers or something like that, or you want to wrestle? What was up with that? You guys are distracting the show. You know, it was like, no, we won this a wrestling show. This is the place we go to express our feelings. You know, that's what you want your fans to do, is express their feelings. You want them to react. No reaction is a bad reaction. As long as you get something, it's money, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we got linked up with him, and he trained us, and he showed us a couple more companies. Some of us stayed, some of us fell off, and that leads up to now, where I'm still kind of going and still pushing and still trying to get somewhere. And this is, I've been a professional wrestler now for like 12 years.
So you paid your dues.
Oh, yeah. And now my name is scattered across. I mean, people know my name. I ain't where I want to be at, but it's a nice start, you know. It took a long time to get this far, but it's a nice start. Now I know what to do, and I need to just push it and keep going.
There you go. Well, Kev, I really appreciate you being on the show, especially at such late notice. But we would be remiss if we didn't give you a chance to give a shout-out to the people that have supported you, and just get it out there for the people to know.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I'd like to thank everyone, you know, who's ever watching the show. And like I said, thank you guys, too. If you're interested in following me or want to know about me, you can find me on Facebook at DeCobra, the Muay Thai Warrior. And you can find me on Instagram at The Warrior Cobra. And you can find me on Twitter at TheCobra_. I mean, just you guys in general wrestling fans, if you don't know, I mean, you should know. You guys are the reason that we do this, and I really, really appreciate, you know, all wrestling fans, even the ones I never met. But, yeah, definitely keep an eye out for me, man.
All right.
And that we're going to do. Thanks so much, Calvin.
Thank you very much.
All right, man.
Have a good night.
All right, now.
So was he too much fun or what?
Oh, he was very fun.
I think you were having a little too much fun on certain spots of the episode, too, but that's okay. So I love that he is a natural athlete and the grit that he's had over 12 years, and he's still grinding. That's amazing to me.
Yeah.
And such a good attitude about it all. And I, you know, there's so much to the sport that I didn't even have a beginning of an understanding. You know, I was one of those people like, oh, this is all fake. This is just, it doesn't require any talent. I mean, that would totally was me. But he definitely changed my opinion of that.
Well, the broken jaw, I'm like, wow.
I know. I was envisioning him, like, getting slammed with a chair or something, and he said it was just a simple mistake, so I could only imagine. But, yeah, so that's some for real pain. And to know that, you know, you're going into the scenario and you know what the outcome is going to be, but you're not sure how to get there, and you're totally just making it up as you go along, that's some real skill, for sure.
That's some pretty good creativity, too. I'm like, wow, I was more impressed by the breakdown of it because, like you said, you know, there's certain things that happen during the match that you can't see, and you still got to keep going. And, to finish a match with a broken jaw, the pain had to be just through the roof, even with the adrenaline.
Yep. I would think so.
Wow.
So way exciting. So awesome to have him tonight. And especially at the last minute, too, I appreciate that so much as well. Really taking the time
to
share his story with everyone out there.
That's so right. I mean, that's the wrestling business, I guess. And it works because he held in like a trooper.
Sure did. Well, with that,
we beat him
Kellen
up pretty bad.
Kellen of the Irish. Kellen of the Snickerdoodle Clan.
Don't make fun of my name. It's Kellen Patterson. Don't forget
Kellen
it.
Kellen Patterson, do you have any parting thoughts for our P4P family?
Well, I hope they enjoyed the show, and I hope they're not sipping too much and trying to drink and drive. We wouldn't want any disasters out there.
Be safe.
Catch a cab, but hopefully it's green.
on behalf of myself and the Kellen and the P for Peace. Your body is a temple. So let's build it.